of the book of Revelation. Chapter 7. Now, normally this would look like to the casual observer, this would look like a very short, somewhat meaningless chapter. There's not a lot of significant facts here, except we want to go deep. We want to go into this. We want to look at this closely and see what it might be said. So, Revelation chapter 7, before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we prepare to open your word tonight, may your Holy Spirit guide us. As we look into your word, may he rule in our hearts. May you guard the words that come out of my mouth. And Father, may they be your message to your people. And Father, may we all see the wisdom that you have put in black and white for us to understand. Thank you, Father, for giving us your word. May we follow it, may we love it, and Father, may we obey it as we go through our day-to-day activities. And we will praise you for what you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 7:1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, like I said, to the casual reader, this may not have much meaning, but to the student of the book, we have reference to several portions of the word. We're going to see a lot of different parts of the Bible come together in the seventh chapter. As an example, we must return to the fifth seal. Last week we were looking at the seals, seals 1-6, and this is sort of a parenthetical insertion into the book between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. We won't see the seventh seal till next week. Next week we will see the seventh seal, but for tonight we're looking at a parenthetical, something that's been inserted between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. So we need to go back to the fifth seal for a better understanding of what's really going to go on here. So Revelation 6:9-11, that's the fifth seal. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, there are two distinct visions in this chapter 7. The first vision involves the souls of the Gentiles who are saved during the tribulation. During the tribulation time, there will be many people saved. The ones that will not be saved, and we'll look at this in little detail in a few minutes, the ones that will not be saved, let me make one little adjustment here. We're trying to see, there's some interference coming from somewhere. It's not there. Not here. I don't know. I don't know where it is, AB. But anyway, we're probably broadcasting across the street to the church over there. And so anyway, there are two groups. One is the souls of those who die during the tribulation. You see, there will be people saved during the tribulation, not the ones who have heard the gospel, but the ones who have not heard the gospel, and the ones who recognize that the Antichrist is not Jesus Christ, and the ones who do not have the mark in the back of their hand or across their forehead, the ones who refuse to worship him, they will be saved because they will believe in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will believe that he died for their sin. And they will believe it strongly enough that they will resist the wooing of the Antichrist. And so the rest of the Gentiles, they'll follow the Antichrist. But there is a large number, and we don't have any indication as to what that number is. But John sees and saw when the fifth seal was opened, he saw their souls under the altar. And if you remember last week, I told you that there's something takes place at this very point. A soul can't wear a white robe. Only a body can. And so what happens in chapter 6 during the opening of the fifth seal is that the souls of those under the altar, they're in heaven with the Lord, those souls are given bodies. And then they're given white robes. Those bodies are given white robes to wear. And we see this and they're told to rest yet a little while. Because God has not let everyone who resists the Antichrist come to a point of being a sacrificial lamb yet or being sacrificed. So God is going to use the earth itself as well as nature to come against his enemies. But it's not time yet for God to execute his purpose. And so they are told to rest yet a little while because God still has some things that he needs to do. That brings us to Revelation 7, verses 2 and 3. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth. See, they're holding the wind back so that it will not hurt the earth. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So now this comes to the second group of people who are there. The second group of people that are mentioned here in this chapter, chapter 7, are Jews. You have Gentiles, you have Jews. And God is going to select a group of Jews, a particular group of Jews, to serve as his servants during the rest of the tribulation. We will see them again. In fact, we'll see them tonight. I'm going to jump ahead in order that you might understand who this group is. But this is a group of men. One task remains undone: the sealing of the men of Israel who will serve God during the tribulation. Now, this statement does not preclude that there will be no Jewish women saved. No, it does not. There will be Jewish women saved also. But this is dealing with particular servants, just as we believe that no woman should be a preacher here in this church or in any church, because that's what the Bible says. It says he's to be a man. Husband of one wife. And so a woman is not supposed to be the preacher. And in the same thing, God wants his servants to be men, Jewish men, who will work with Jesus Christ during the tribulation. And so here is a group of people who are going to have the seal of God put in their foreheads. And that's what it's telling us here. Verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, at the end of it, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, this group will come through the tribulation, the group of Jews. They will come through the tribulation. They will be working with Jesus Christ. They will be helping Jesus Christ to accomplish what he wants to here upon the earth. And this has to be done in order to establish the Lord's army that comes with him during for the tribulation. You and I, will be in heaven at this point, because we will have been raptured out. But there still will be Jews, there still will be Gentiles here on the earth. Some of the Gentiles will be saved. This group of Jews will have seals in their forehead. They will become the army of God for the tribulation. God cannot inflict any punishment or wrath upon the earth or upon the world or upon the children until his people have been secured from harm. Why do you think God permits the United States to still exist? No other nation in the world has killed over 60 million babies. We have. How can God permit that? He does it because of you. And he does it because there are other people out here in this country that will yet be saved. And until they are saved, until you and I are out of the way, God will not bring his wrath upon this country. We wonder, how can God permit some of these people to do the wicked things they're doing? It's mercy for you. It's because of his mercy that the wrath of God has not been seen. The wrath of God will be seen in the book of Revelation. One day it will come upon the earth, but right now it's his mercy that is ruling here. Matthew 24:31 says, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So God, Jesus promised that his sheep would not go through the tribulation. And before the tribulation starts, his sheep are going to be gathered. And then during the tribulation, there'll be some more sheep called out. Revelation 7:4. "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." This is going to be a very select group, people. This is going to be Israel. This is going to be Jews that are going to be sealed. And I know that this is probably going to come as a great disappointment to the Mormons and a great disappointment to the Jehovah's Witnesses, but they are not included in the 144,000. You see, they think they are. They think that they're going to be a part of that. They're not, because they're not Jewish. And this is going to be very specific. We're going to see right now the difference and how important this is to God and to his plan. You see, the cults believe that they will be part of the 144,000, but God says definitely not. They will have no part in it. The ones that will be selected will be God's chosen people. And they will, now I'm gonna tell you something here, and we're gonna have to jump ahead for me to verify this. Because anytime I give you scripture, you look, you make sure that I'm rightly dividing God's word of truth for your sake, so that you don't misunderstand. We are here in chapter 7, and I'm gonna tell you. All of these Jews that are sealed will be virgins. They will not have known a woman. They will be men. Men can be virgins too. And so this 144,000 Jews are going to be men who have never known a woman. And now let's jump ahead so that I can show you where it tells us that. Jump ahead to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. Revelation 14, 1 through 5. Read along with me as I read those first five verses. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. We've seen that number before someplace. Having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sang as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn the song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. There you have it from God's word. Not from Ken McBride, from God's word. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So now you know why I say that from back in chapter 7. Because God says it in chapter 14. Moving on. Verses 5 through 8. I'm going to read this as a block. And there's a reason for it, and I'll get into that as soon as I get done reading. Verses 5 through 8. Of the tribes of Judah were sealed 12. With me, count with me as we go through this, the tribes, the number of tribes. Then I'm going to have a question for you. Some of you already know the answer. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. That's four tribes so far. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. That's six. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. We're up to 10 now. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. We have just sealed 144,000 Jews to be part of Christ's army during the tribulation. If you know the answer to this question, let somebody who may not know it, or there's a tribe missing. What, there were just 12 tribes of Israel? There's a tribe missing in this list. Do you know what the tribe is? It was the tribe that went into idolatry to the point that God could no longer call them his children. The tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan is not here. And Dan was one of the 12 tribes. Let me just read a couple, three verses and show you. I'm going to jump into Genesis. I'm going to go back to Genesis right now and give you the 12 tribes. And you will see that Dan is part of it, but he's not part of this group. Genesis 35, 23 through 26. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan, and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad, and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padanaram. So you see, the tribe of Dan is no longer considered part of God's chosen people. But what's the tribe, what is the 12th tribe that is in this first group? Actually, one tribe is double dipping. Manasseh, Joseph's son, one of Joseph's sons. One that Jacob blessed. He takes his followers, his descendants, his heirs, become the 12th tribe of Judah. So see, there's a lot hidden in here in this chapter that we need to look at and consider. All right, that takes us to Revelation 7, 9 and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, those are the ones from out from under the altar, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Every single people will be represented by this group. Every language, every dialect, every tribe, every nation. There will be no nation without representation. And so we all started out as one people, Adam and Eve. At the Tower of Babel, we were all separated into different groups, different languages, different races. They were all there in Adam and Eve, but then they began to be divided out. So at the Tower of Babel, everything was divided. Now here in heaven, everything's coming back together. That's going to be so neat. We're all going to be one family again. One family under God and in front of God. So the palm branch, it says they're waving palm branches. The palm branch is a symbol of joy and triumph. To illustrate this, what happened when Jesus entered Jerusalem before the crucifixion? People were waving palm branches. They were throwing palm branches down in his path for his donkey to walk across. Because that was a celebration. And the palm is a symbol of celebration, a symbol of joy and triumph. And so that's why when Jesus came in, it's called the triumphal entry, because they were using palm branches to bring him into the, a couple of days later, they were saying, crucify him. But that Sunday, when he entered Jerusalem on the beginning of the Passover, it was a triumphal entry. Brings us to verses 11 and 12. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders, the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Now remember how many angels there were in chapter 5? It gave us a number. In chapter 5, verse 11, it says, And I beheld and I heard of the voice of many angels around about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them, talking about the angels, was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands more. So that's over 100 million people, angels. That's a big crowd. Donald Trump would probably like a crowd like that. Yeah. Verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that in them I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Think about this, people. Get this picture. Every being on earth worships God. Every being in heaven worships God. Saying nothing but good things about him. Every being in hell worships God. Wow. God is really worthy of worship. Even the people in hell, it says so right here. And every creature was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. Even the demons and the devil are going to worship God. And saying blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne. It's so sad that people today are not wanting or desirous to worship God for all that he has done, everything that you and I have and are comes from God. And he's worthy of worship. That's why we come to gather here as a church family, as a family of God, to worship him because he's worthy. But there is a day coming, and we're in the future right now. In this book of Revelation, there's a day coming when even the demons in hell and the souls that are in hell will worship God. Think about that. Isaiah 45:23 says, I have sworn by myself, God talking, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. So even in Isaiah's time, Isaiah prophesied that a time would come, and it will come during the tribulation, that everyone, every being will worship God and praise him. Romans 14:11 through 12 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. There's going to be some consequences to bad actions, bad decisions. But we don't need to worry about that because we have been bought by Jesus Christ. People want to know what we're going to do in heaven. Well, folks, we're getting a little glimpse of it. We're going to do a lot of worshiping of God. We're going to do a lot of praising of God. We're going to do a lot of loving. That's what heaven's all about. No hatred, no bad things, no bad stuff. Just love, just good. Revelation 7:13-14. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said to him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Even in heaven, the blood of Jesus is still going to be effectual for sin. Even in heaven. That's what saved you. That's what saved me. And that's what's going to save the folks who are in the tribulation and refuse to bow down to the Antichrist. It will be the blood of Jesus that they'll be trusting in, that blood to take away their sin. Now, that applies only to those who have never heard the gospel. Because if they have heard the gospel, they have rejected it, they will not have another chance. That's why it's so serious. When a person hears the gospel and says, oh, not now. I don't want to do this right now. I want to get ready first. Ready for what? The only thing they can get ready for right now is hell. And so they need to understand that it's not anything they can do that's going to get them saved. Person who has not accepted, who has heard the gospel and not accepted it, cannot be saved during the tribulation. If you've got loved ones you've witnessed to, and they do not get saved before Jesus comes back for his church and takes everybody out, they cannot be saved. They are lost for eternity. And I want to show that to you again in Scripture. Like I said, everything that I say tonight, I can back it up with Scripture. And I'm going to back that statement up right now. Turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6. This is a sad part of Scripture, but it gives us an understanding of how important our witnessing is and our compelling people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, 3 verses, 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, cannot be saved, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. That's it, folks. It may be a hard line to take, but that's it. If they've heard the gospel, if they've been convicted by the Holy Spirit, they've tasted the Holy Spirit, they've tasted the Word, they've experienced the Holy Spirit working, trying to encourage them to receive Him. If they reject Him and the rapture occurs, they're lost. Revelation 7, verses 15 through 17. Therefore, are they before the throne of God, all those that we saw, the souls that came through the tribulation, we are already there. We have a crowded place, but we're all going to be there. And it says, therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, you might think, and if you are a student of the Bible, you might think that we have just had two contradictions. You probably didn't even pick up on it. These are not contradictions. Let me explain. Remember, John is writing this for our benefit. He's writing to the seven churches. So this is being given to the church to bring to, on down through history to tell us about God. And it's being couched in words that he understands. But I see two things that will not apply when the time comes. Did you pick up on them? Let me reread them. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. That's the first one. There's no night there. There's no night in heaven. There's night right now to the people that John is writing to. And this is his way of expressing they'll serve him for eternity. Okay? Then there's another thing. See, as you read the word, you need to think about it. As you look down on verse 16, near the end of the verse, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. There'll be no sun there. Because Jesus Christ is going to be the light. This is not a contradiction of Scripture. This is John writing to people in a language that they can understand, in terms they can understand. God's going to tell us later on that there will be, this will not happen, this will not come about. In fact, I'm going to jump ahead one more time here to Revelation 22, verse 5. I want you to see this. Revelation 22, 5. And there shall be no night there. Can't get any plainer than that. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So obvious. So obvious. This is not a contradiction here in chapter 7. It is in terms where the readers can understand. You know, it's important to watch closely when we read Scripture and to think about what we're reading. Because a lot of folks might read this and never think about the fact that there's not any night in heaven. Just like people talk about the pearly gates. Well, every entrance has a giant pearl as the gate to that, but it says the gates will never be closed. You see, the gates, even when Nehemiah rebuilt Jerusalem, it's amazing how the Bible all fits together. When Nehemiah rebuilt Jerusalem, the last thing they did was build the gates, because the gates had been burned when Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians. And so he rebuilt the gates, but there was a problem. And the problem was there were vendors coming into Jerusalem on the Sabbath, on Saturday. And they were selling their wares, and they were working, and they were washing, and they were cooking food and stuff. And God said, there shall be nothing done on the Sabbath. And so Nehemiah closed the gates so that the vendors could not come in. But you see, by the time we get to this place in heaven, God is in complete control. And it's going to be fantastic. You and I cannot imagine it. All of you with cell phones, there'll be no spam calls. There'll be no sales calls. You won't need a cell phone. Heaven's going to be a pretty wonderful place. I think there's a song to that effect. And so, in verse 16... we told that the sun shall not light upon any of us anymore, and it's because there will be no sun necessary. Because we will have, not the S-U-N, but we will have the S-O, capital S-O-N for our light. God and Jesus is going to take care of us, and we will have no reason for any tears, and he will wipe them all away. That's chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. Now, when we come to chapter 8, I want you to think, I want to read one verse of chapter 8. We've looked at all of chapter 7, and we're going to read one verse of chapter 8 for you to think about during this next week. And it is the first verse. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And with that, we're going to go ahead and close and pray. Father, thank you for letting us have this time together tonight in your word. Help us to meditate upon your word. Help us to hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. And Father, help us as we go through this week to understand that you have a purpose, you have a mission for each one of us. And Father, may we be successful in completing that mission, in fulfilling that purpose. And Father, we will love you even more because you are God and you love us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being